The Lord is good to us, and we do rejoice and enjoy together and personally with the Lord our opportunity to fellowship around who He is, led by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are thankful for your constant care for us and your provision of all things that are needed and all things that need to be guided and corrected. You do it all, Lord. You love us. You care for us. You do not count our shortcomings against us. You have paid for all of them by your blood. And we are thankful, Lord, and ask you to fill us with the knowledge of you. In your name I do pray. Amen. Over the past few months, periodically, I have shared on abiding and on living the exchanged life and different perspectives. There's so much to it that Paul has been sharing, Ed is sharing. We have the opportunity to see him, the Lord Jesus. And what I want to speak on this morning begins with one of the things I've shared many times out of the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And this is, again, right after the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus says to them when they come to him after the following day, after they've been fed, Jesus says to them, "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life." And that is, just to pause there a moment, that is spiritual food. The food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. Again, we do not make it. He is giving it to us. For on him, the Father, even God, has set his seal. And they, the crowd, said therefore to him, because they didn't understand at all. They therefore said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" They wanted to know what the law was. What was the pathway to heaven? What was the pathway to, how can we know that we're going to be accepted by God? What are we supposed to be doing? And it was not intended to be, well, I'll leave that alone. Jesus answered, verse 29 of chapter 6, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." That is spiritual life. He wants us to believe in him whom the Father has sent. As Brother Aubrey shared earlier, there is so much deception and people being lifted up and men being lifted, movements being lifted up and excitement over all sorts of things. Look over here, look over there, here he comes, here, what is happening, where is it? Or fear. We are afraid of many things in this place, and fear comes from death. But Jesus has overcome death, and we are in him. So here he is. He speaks and he says, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." I'd like to look at, with that in mind, like to look at Matthew chapter 5. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 6. And this is, as you may be aware, and if you if you look at it, you'll recognize it as the Beatitudes, out of the Beatitudes. And Jesus is speaking this prayer, Sermon on the Mount. And he says in chapter 6, verse 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his life's span?" The Lord is speaking very directly, and he's speaking words that they can understand. But what he's describing, what he's talking about, is spiritual life and living in by the Holy Spirit. That we have no reason to be anxious. We have no reason, but we stumble. We become concerned over things. They touch us physically, sickness or death or so many things about this world and life in this world that really have no eternal value, nothing to be afraid of. But he wants us to know him. He wants us to see him. He wants us to hear his voice. And he sends the Holy Spirit to teach us truth, lead us in all truth, but also to intercede for us in prayer, to make our, to interpret our prayer from our groanings too deep for words. He wants to be able to take that to the Father. The birds of the air are part of the creation. I read out of Colossians at the opening of our time. And Paul is writing to the Colossians, and he's speaking of Jesus, and he says, "By him, Jesus, all things were created." He is the creator. None of this is a surprise to him. He knows all of it. He knows all the things that will come up. He knows all the things that will fall down, that will be thrown down. And he knows that we will give glory to God if we will hold on to him. All things have been created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I really enjoy looking at the creation. My favorite time of day is sunset, and it's probably sunset in the fall. I enjoy that. The warm tones of the light and the things that the Lord has done. And, you know, it's amazing. And I know we all have dealings with things on the earth. Many of you are fishermen or hunters. And, you know, it's just amazing. The creation, what God has done is beyond our understanding. And he does not expect us to be able to understand all things, but he does show us himself in his work, in the world, in his creation of over all things. And it says also in that verse, "Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." So these are governments. These are He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus rules and reigns, and his government will have no end. In chapter 5 of Matthew, turning back a page here in my Bible, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus is telling us, that we are the light of the world. He speaks many things here in the Sermon on the Mount and many things throughout the Scripture, and gives them to us as encouragement and as facts and things that we live our life, how he wants us to see him and to hear him and to know him. We are the light of the world. In John, and I plan to say this. This is one of my favorite verses anyway. So that counts. Gospel of John, in the beginning, verse 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. That's what I was reading about him as the creator of all things, and all things hold together. In him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That is wonderful. I enjoy those verses so much. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. His life is the light of men. It's the light of us. It's the light of all who will turn to him. He wants all to know him. He wants all to see him. He wants us to have the light that we may not stumble in the darkness. Down further, verse 7, he's talking about John the Baptist. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light. John was bearing witness of the light of God, that all may believe through him. Verse 8, he was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was a true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. The world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, that's human, that's our human flesh, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are born into the kingdom by God. The Word became, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Hallelujah. You know, our worship time, we raise praise and adoration to our Lord Jesus. We give glory to God by the leadership of the Spirit, by the voice and power of God, we give glory to Him who has brought us into life. And we have no longer any fear of death. We will reign with Him, be with Him forever and forever, seated on the throne with Him. And John came, John the Baptist, came that for witness, verse 7, that he might bear witness of the light. God sent him to bear witness of Jesus, of the light of God, that he was shining the light, that the light was not coming from the law. It was coming from Christ, who fulfilled all of the law and a testimony of God. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. What he made did not know him. The world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. That is so sad. I think that's one of Yvonne's expressions when she's touched by something, and it's so sad. It is sad that God speaks directly to us. He shows us. We see things that cannot be by man's hand, but only by God. And yet we still refuse to believe. We struggle. We want to know, how can I control this? What do I need to do the works of God? As I said in John chapter 6. Jesus loves us, cares for us. One more. Out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and beginning in verse 15. All these things that I've been speaking of, God has shown to us and leads us in. But we are human, and we are fallible. We are sinful people. We are misguided in many things, and we need each other to see the truth, to see God being testified to in the life, as Paul sang about, the testimony of Jesus. Verse 15 of Luke 12. And he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. We are pitiful. I am pitiful. Wondering about, well, how am I going to get through this? I mean, that's how I came to the Lord. I was worried. I was anxious. I was in eighth grade, I think. And I was wondering, you know, I got to pass this test, because I want to go on in school, and I want to get a good job, and I want to have stuff.
This is eighth grade.
Eighth grade. Pardon?
You were worried.
I was worried. Yeah, I had it. I was wondering what's going on. Things will get worse, won't they? Things will become more. There are many things to be anxious of, and we see them, we're touched by them, but the Lord has it all in His hand, and He's causing, as we've said, all things to work together for good. So here we are, struggling in the world. Beware against, be on your guard against every form of greed. Verse 15. For not even when one has abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. I know you all remember, have heard this, and if you, I'll remind you of it because it's important to know what he's doing. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking. He knows us. We are not fooling him in any of our doings. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do? What a problem. Since I have no place to store all my crops, got to do something. I can't let this stuff just rot, go away. And he said, this is the man, the farmer, the rich man, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good things laid up for many years to come. Take your ease. That was what I was wanting to be sure I got to in eighth grade. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared? Verse 21. So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit of life, a cubit to his lifespan? And Jesus, in wonderment, it seems, if you cannot, verse 26, if then you cannot do even a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, if he makes all this, the colors and the... that's another thing I really love about the creation is flowers. I think flowers are just a marvelous creation. Delicate, beautiful, here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow. How much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? Do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek for his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, verse 32, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly. He's not withholding. He's not being miserly. He has given, just like Adam and Eve, be free in the garden. Eat, and it's all here for you. Eat whatever you want, if you'll stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He wants us to have plenty. He wants us to have abundance. He has given us abundance, abundantly, willingly. I'd like to do something a little bit different. Have you got the... Okay. This is a song that chorus that we have sung a number of times, and if you'll put up Jesus, what a beautiful name. And I would encourage you, if you can, and if you have, to look it up on the internet and perhaps print off a copy of it. But that's my suggestion. You do what how the Lord leads you. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Let's hold on that first. Jesus is, I don't know how long ago it was, but it was at least a decade. And Brother Kirk Westfall shared something on names. It wasn't specifically about the name of Jesus, but about names. That names are important, that names tell something about the person whose name it is. Now, I don't know that my name tells a lot about me, but back in the scripture, the names were important, that the names it seemed like as if people had to live up to them or had the ability to live up to them, what their name meant. We know that Jesus is a beautiful name. He is the Son of God, the Son of Man. He is the Lamb that was slain. In John 6, when he says, the work of God is to believe on him whom he has sent. How do we do that? Well, I'm not trying to tell you this is a how-to, but this is a suggestion that may help you to see things more spiritually. And what I'd like to suggest is that look at the names in these verses. These are all out of the scripture. There may be some of them that are slightly modified, and I don't want you to believe in something that's not scripture. But look at Jesus as the Son of God. Ask him. He wants us to abide with him. And as I said several weeks ago or maybe months ago, my picture of abiding has changed drastically in the last year. And I see us individually sitting with Jesus as with a friend beside a fire at the table. He wants us to know him. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to know his power. He is the Son of God. He's also the Son of Man. He is human. His flesh suffered for our flesh. He is a lamb that was slain. As Phil was sharing about the lamb. Let's go to the next screen. Joy and peace, strength and hope. All these things are attributes of Christ. Joy comes from him. Peace comes from him. Have you ever, you think about the peace of Christ. I've been wanting to get this in for some time. The peace, he is the Prince of Peace, the scripture tells us. Well, how does he do that? He does that because he has all power and authority, and all things are under him, and his government, the government of the earth, the government of our lives, he has power to keep in perfect peace. Strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Well, we certainly need that. Realize that his grace, his mercy, his love . He is the rock on which we stand. He has made us righteous. He has shown us himself. He has cleansed us by his blood. We have nothing to fear. Death has no power over us. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Next slide, please. Truth revealed, my future sealed, healed my pain. Well, Jimmy, he will heal your pain. He is revealing, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth and lives within us and will teach us and show us all things that we need to know and see. He knows, he is the Alpha and the Omega. That's not in the song, but that's, he is. The scripture tells us. And that he knows the beginning from the end and how it will all unfold. And is causing it to be for us, to be good for goodness for us. Next, love and freedom. We have freedom in him. Life and warmth. Grace that blows all fear away. What I'm suggesting, and I'm going through some of these verses of this song, is that if you think about it, take some time and consider the words, the names that Jesus has. As I said, like Prince of Peace, Son of God, Son of Man. And he gives us love and freedom, life and warmth. Next slide. Rescued my soul. He is my stronghold. He lifts me from shame. The Holy Spirit will help us to recognize and has brought me to, as my testimony to you about that, he has shown me and has made it clear, and my heart hears it and knows it, that he has lifted me. He's paid for my sin. He's lifted me from shame. I have nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be ashamed of, because he has cleansed it. Next, forgiveness, security, power, and love. Next verse. That's all? I got more. Truth revealed, my future sealed. I read that. Actually, many of these are repetitions or repeating the things that we've already looked at. The Lord Jesus is our everything. And he has the power to heal. He has the power to guide. He has the power to change things and to cause us to see and to bear witness to who he is, giving glory to God. When we gather together and worship, we praise him, we lift up our voice. Many of the hymns and songs that we sing are prayers to him, talking about who he is. There's the same thing as like this song. There's so many things here that he wants us to know about him. And he wants us not just to know about it, but to understand. He wants to cause it to come to be birthed in us and change our lives, change how we are a witness to man on the earth. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope I haven't confused you in any way. If I have, seek the Lord. He knows. He knows what you need and what you need to hear from what I have said. And also, please do be in prayer for the word that was spoken down at the beach with the ladies, that would be heard and that the Lord would cause it to, the seed to be planted and for it to grow and to produce fruit, just as with us. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for guiding us and bringing us to your throne, helping us to see who you are and to trust that the things that you have been said about you, that you said about yourself, are absolutely true. And that the witness of the Holy Spirit within us will assure us of your care and righteousness. We thank you and praise you, Lord, in your name. Glory to God.